Thanks everyone for coming here and for looking at this. So I'm very happy to be here to present this idea to you. So it's kind of like a very different idea from what you saw before. I guess that's a pretty different way of doing things, like IPFS or stuff like that. But yeah, I'm not I don't have an academic background, or I'm not a researcher. I'm really just a hacker, and I enjoy building things and, you know, having people to use these things. So that's what I try to do here and what I want to show you. So just a note first is that in the abstract I mentioned a lot of things I wanted to talk about, but we don't have a lot of time. So all the stuff about ethics and legal, I won't go through it, but if you want to talk about it, please ask the question at the end. You know, there will be enough time at the end to talk about, you know, any specific topic you want to talk about that. So I will just say a few things about myself, but I'm here to talk about that. But I started coding pretty young. I was like 11 years old, and it was in the late 90s. And at that time, the internet, that was this. I don't know if some of you remember that, but that's how we were looking at internet. It was like we could surf on the internet. It was revolutionary. And I learned, like most of the things I know about software engineering, I learned from people, very generous people on IRC that did help me to learn these things. And it was really about exchanging ideas, but also exchanging data. And there was like this whole, for me, a whole revolution around peer-to-peer data exchange. And really, I miss those days. And when I think, when I looked at internet right now, I'm pretty sad, because I see like my nephew, my nieces, they spend time like doom scrolling on their phone. And I think for me, it became like, I mean, the way I look at it is that people, they are enslaved by recommendation system, right? This is these neural networks, they create these feeds of recommendation. It can be on social network, it can be on any website you consume. And they actually manipulate us in deep ways. And I think people start to realize that more and more. I mean, I hope. So personally, I don't like that. I think it's really fucked up. And I don't want to use it, so I try to find, you know, alternatives. So I don't want the internet, now I want, I call as a joke, the interwebs. So it's not like the web 3, 4, or 5, because I think that's like bullshit as well. You know, people were really like pessimistic before about hacking the browser. I think this is wrong. I think we should not let like these tech giants dictate how the web should be built. I think we should not let this crypto bro dictate how we should build it, because they don't know. We did it back in the days. I mean, I'm not talking about the internet protocol, right? But the web, this is something that was built by a hacker, and we can still do it. I don't see why we wouldn't be able to do it. So I think the Tor project did something pretty amazing to show us a good interface to expose to the people, and that's by building a web browser. So what I'm going to show you is a fork of the Tor browser. More specifically, it's a fork of Mulvad browser, and I tried to demo that on the Wi-Fi, so before the Wi-Fi was working, but you know, it's a real demo, so bad things can happen. I hope they won't happen. I just pre-downloaded the application, so you can get it right now if you go on akupa.net. I just finished building it, like released the like yesterday, so it's brand new, you can try it now. You might destroy the network and then I won't be able to do my demo, but it doesn't matter. So if you try it, let me know if you have an issue. It should be working on any Linux operating system. Later there will be for our operating system, but for now that's it. So just to say, if you want to try, you can go on akupa.net. You have a link to the source code. It's not yet on Radical. I mean, I had some issues, but I think some people from Radical are here today. You can download the tar against zip. That's the instruction if you want to install from the command line, but you can just right-click on it and run it like I did here. And if you want, there's a mailing list and other community stuff. Anyway, so once you start the browser, you're welcome with that, the About page. And here you have a link that encourages you to enter the interwebs. So as you can see, this is a weird link, and for now, I will be really practical and go into it. And if I have issues and slow down, which is not the case, everything is working, I will talk about other things. So this is the first page of the new interwebs. This is the first one. And I can have music hosted on it, hopefully. I mean, it still didn't download everything yet. So let's look at the jargon file first. The jargon file is a PDF file that is downloading, so I will wait and see if eventually it happens. So in the meantime, what I wanted to say is that I tried to take a different approach. Everyone talked to you about the cloud, but what I want to talk to you is the granary. So I will explain what I mean by granary later. So this is a really old file that evolved over time. It's a dictionary for cyberpunk. So if you don't know what cyberpunk means, because you hear all these cool kids talking about it, you can access the interwebs and get there and look at it. If you look at the address bar, it's a bit funky. So why is it funky? Because, I mean, you can embed movies like this one. Elephant Dreams is the first open movie. It was made entirely with open source software, I mean, 10 years ago. Since then, Blender did many better movie, but I just took like the first one. I think it was funny. So that is also embedded on that first interwebs page. And then we can see how we can have a link that goes directly to that movie. So if you look at the address bar, here we have that long hash, then we have this domain name, and then here we simply add the name of the file, and it's just streaming directly in the web browser, right? What it is about this address and these links. So I think one way to look to show you exactly what it is to build one of these links by hand. So we can go on this great website, which I think does not need any introduction, right? And we can search for something. I mean, I don't know what could we download right now. Well, a Unix ISOs, right? They are great. It's what everybody goes there to download stuff, right? So let's do that. Let's take a popular one, so that increases the chance of my demo to be working. So here on the Pirate Bay, you get what is called the info hash. So this is a hash of the name of the tenant, all the meta information, not all of the meta information, but then the hash of the contents, right? This is a way to identify the tenants. So I copy that, I open a new tab, I do https://, I put the info hash, I say .torrents.alt/, and there I can go at the bottom of the page where you see the list of files. In this case, there's only one file. Oops, I have such a big mouse, I don't know how to use it. Here it is. So now I just add it at the end of the path. I do enter, and then I have to be a bit patient because I mean, the first torrent we accessed for the first page is hosted by me, so I did optimize the configuration of my nodes to be like really efficient for this kind of use case, but here we had to wait a few seconds, right? So now it's starting, and I propose that I leave it running shouldn't do the same mistake before, which is shutting down. So we don't see it progressing now, and that's just one a mismatch between the abstraction, right? Because a torrent downloads things in parallel, right? I won't explain everything about how a torrent goes, but here I can only send the bytes in a continuous manner, so I need to wait. So probably right now it's downloading a lot of stuff. We can verify that by running iftop on the host, and yeah. I just started iftop and there's already 36 megabytes transferred. Okay, so we will come back to this later. And now I will continue with the rest of the presentation. So, I mean, I guess like most of you are, do you know what BitTorrent is? I mean, yeah, no need to raise your hand. I think most people know what it is. So just briefly how it works. You are a peer in a peer-to-peer network, and using that a protocol, you can exchange files, right? So usually what you do, I mean, that's one way of doing things. There's another way I will discuss more later, but one way to find other peers that contain the data you need is to actually contact what is called a tracker. You can use UDP or HTTP. And then, so you get another peer, and you can start transfer data with it. So this is basically how BitTorrent is working. And now, this is what you just saw, okay? But now I want to tell you about the future of what I'm building, because this is like pretty simple, honestly. I mean, it was quite a piece of work to get it working. But initially, I got a prototype of this working in like 6 hours just by hacking existing libraries. But then I wanted to do it nicely, and this means using libtorrent, because libtorrent, as far as I can see, is the best implementation, and that took more time. Then I wanted to embed it in a web browser, and that took more time. But I mean, the basic idea is pretty simple. But I don't think it's enough for our new interwebs, because let's go back to the core issue, which is privacy and stuff like that. So first of all, thanks a lot to the Tor project for building such a great thing. And what they do is that there is a Tor network, but there's also the base browser, which is used by Mulvad, and which I'm using here. The advantage of that web browser is that it's prevent fingerprinting. So maybe you saw before there was like the letterboxing going on and stuff like that. They really spent a lot of time on this. So in the design I want to go then, I want the browser to be able to operate in two different modes. One is a public and one is a private mode. So now let's talk about what I want the public mode to be. So currently, it uses BitTorrent and internet to get the data. And then if you access the normal internet, it uses BitTorrent. But what I want to do is that I want to use the Tor network. That's actually pretty easy things to do because I'm already integrated with the whole Tor project stack. I can just add the Tor daemon, and then I can use as a proxy, you know, for my own proxy, because my stuff works as a proxy in the web browser. So why doing that? It's actually really important for privacy, because on the right, people that are on the right, they don't know what is your torrent activity, so they cannot like correlate it. And people that see you using torrent, they don't know what is your web activity, so they cannot correlate. So basically, people that are selling advertisements, they cannot know things about you. This does not prevent a state actor, right, a three-letter acronym agency, to like know what you're doing, because they can observe the complete stuff. So so this is good to do like a desktop application for people that can use torrent in regions that are not heavily censored, or, you know, that there's other issues like that. So we can also imagine, like I was talking about a web browser, but this could be also a web, an appliance for like a Raspberry Pi, and you could have at home, like working as a seed box. And that's when the concept of granary, you know, I was explaining before, will start to make sense, but I will go in more details about that later. So then, that is for the public peer. But now, let's say you are someone in a country like Iran, or I don't know, in places where you don't want people to know what you're doing with internet, which is a totally fair concern in my opinion. You really don't want to have any public torrent activity, especially the DHD. DHD is another way to find other peers, but it's using a decentralized data structure. So in that case, when you install the browser, you put it in a private mode. And in that mode, everything you do is going through Tor, which is good because it prevents you people from knowing what you're doing, but that has some limitation. Like, for example, it's not possible for you to distribute new content to bootstrap. I mean, you can distribute new content, but you cannot bootstrap a swarm if there's no one that is active. That's a bit technical, but I mean, for people that know about BitTorrent and stuff like that, hopefully that makes some sense. So now, what is important to remember is that the Tor project, the Tor daemon, it only like supports TCP protocol. But there's a lot of stuff going on in UDP with BitTorrent. So now the idea is to create a kind of like overlay network where the public peers, they act as proxies for the DHT and the UDP tracker. For the HTTP tracker, it's fine, right? The private peer can connect to it through Tor. So, I mean, I think proxies, but it is like in the Tor terms. It would be a relay, but I think it's better not to use the same term because I also use Tor, so it would be super confusing. So I call them proxies. The constraint they have is that you cannot announce yourself. They only forward read-only queries. But they basically serve as a bridge for people that are running a private node to find peers and, you know, download torrents. I think I had something else to say about this. Oh yeah, the onion peer exchange. It's like currently in the BitTorrent protocol, you exchange IP address when you connect to a peer, right? When you exchange in a swarm the address. Usually you get this IP address from the tracker or from the DHT. But there's something in BitTorrent which is formalized, which is implemented in most of the clients, which is called the peer exchange protocol. So when two peers, they connect together, they exchange what they know about the swarm. This is really cool because it allows people that use only the DHT to know about peer from the tracker without connecting to the tracker. It's just a way to disseminate, you know, the member of the swarms using peer-to-peer. So the idea is to implement something like that, but for onion addresses. So this way, people running private peer, they can behave like an active BitTorrent node nodes that run the software stack I'm building. So far, everything I described is backward compatible with BitTorrent. You know, I just show you, right? We were browsing like normal torrents, right? But right now, what I'm showing here with that onion thing is specific. It's still backward compatible, but there's like an extension, and if the extension is implemented, this allow like private peers to join the swarm actively. And that's it for that. So there's a lot of stuff, enough stuff to do. I just presented you, like I just scratched the surface here, but there's like a lot of stuff that can be done. There's research to be done, there's things to build, and there's many ways to contribute, I think. Probably even things that are common with people doing IPFS, people doing like working on other projects. So first, I think a concept that is really interesting with that, and I'm going back to the idea of granary versus the cloud, is that we could use the social network to decide, because once you have something in your browser cache, you're going to see that, you know. So anything you browse, unless you use like a private mode like to hide your ass because you're going on a website you don't want your family or people to know, otherwise that will be like in your browser cache, and that will be seeded to the rest of the world. So the idea then is that you could receive a request from a friend that tell you, hey, would it be okay to store, to seed the stuff I'm the author, you know? And then that could be like this concept of granary I was talking about. So you could have like authorization and, you know, add people from your social circle in your granary. And that granary is like a virtual space that exists when you run the browser or where you run like a Raspberry Pi at home, or, you know, you can imagine renting a seed box anywhere. And you will let people that you trust store data there. There's also some research around, like, there's, I think, stuff to formalize and way to improve the BitTorrent protocol, because unlike the web browser, we don't have to ask Google if they're okay with it. We can just do it, you know. That's the way we do it with BitTorrent. It's always been done like that, and we continue to do it like this. I think one thing which is important is to have content addressable storage, which is something IPFS is doing, but you cannot do with BitTorrent. I guess at the time BitTorrent was designed, it was not really a big trend, so, you know, it was not very well known, but I think being able to do content addressable storage will be nice. It can be easy by adding a new namespace in the DHT, and basically you link the content hash to the info hash, the hash we saw before. And by having that data structure, which is, I think, relatively simple to implement and to formalize, then we can have content addressable storage. Why, you know, why having that? So one simple thing we can do is that we could compose a torrent content. You could have one torrent that has the content of another torrent. Let's imagine you take all the recordings of the conference of this year, you put them in a torrent, but you also want a torrent with every year, you know, then you can do that with the recordings of FASDEM without like wasting space. This will be also nice to, I mean, there's, if you want to know more, ask me questions and I will detail more about that. But there's like a lot of nice properties about that. One other really interesting area is about naming and TLS. So I won't go too much in details because there's other people talking about TLS today, like Jeremy Rand from Namecoin, and they know that subject better than me. But basically, I have kind of like the same concern as them. Basically, just think about that. Here, I show you torrent contents, right? So it's actually completed. You have your Linux ISO now. And you can see that it's using HTTPS, right? And now you should consider, so what happened if the content of a torrent want to do a HTTP request to an API on another domain, right? You don't want to, so it's like we have cross-site scripting, but now we are talking about cross-torrents/site scripting, right? this opened a whole kind of forums of like things that we have to do proper. Right now, this is just an alpha version, so you know, use it at your own risk. Be mindful. This is torrent. You know, you should use it properly. But really, I think we should think about that, and we should think about how we give certificate right now. You know, because it's not ideal, in my opinion. But there's people working on that, and hopefully we can, you know, collaborate to find good solution. And I think we can just do it and implement it. We don't have to wait for the giants to agree with us, because they don't have the same concern. They don't care. But I don't know, you remember the Cloudflare outage like a while ago? Yeah? So that wouldn't happen if we use something like that. So I don't see why we all have to use Cloudflare, you know, to do a content distribution. I think that's ridiculous, and I hope that you realize that on that day. Because there was so many stuff that were down, you know, and it's really a shame when we actually have the technology to do things differently. So that is really my main motivation. But also one of my motivations is that I think anybody that have a device that can connect to internet with a relatively good uptime and bandwidth should be able to expose a website, okay? But one of the big issue, because here, I mean, I just did it, right? But you saw the name of the website. It's not so friendly. So we can integrate that with normal DNS, but you still have to pay for DNS. We can integrate that with Namecoin, which is great, but you still have to pay for Namecoin. So I think there is space for another name service, which is complementary to those, which is globally unique but hard to remember, but locally easy to remember. So if you have a question about that, we can also discuss. Last thing I mentioned in terms of research and development that I think is really interesting is that here I just show you static content, right? I guess that would be your first question, like, yeah, it's nice, but this is just static content. I mean, I would say you can do a lot with static content, and if you do smart things, but then yes, I mean, how can you do a dynamic website with that? So one of the way to design, I think, decentralized application with that, and it's not web-free, right? We don't have to follow the stuff. It's to have like a web DHT API. So it's an API that you have in the web browser, and you can put keys in a DHT, in a namespace, or retrieve keys from that namespace. And that namespace should be authenticated using certificate. So again, we can go back to TLS and how we design this stuff. But I think that would be a big deal, because if we do that, then you can implement something like a social network using this, right? But that's far in the future, I think. And then, you know, over contribution funding, well, I'm doing that on my spare time. If you have money, give it to the Tor project, because I think that's where the money should go. But if you have really too much money, you can give it to us. There's also the European Sovereign Tech Fund. And, you know, that might sound like crazy because that's a hacker thing, but I think it's really relevant to European sovereignty. Because, again, Cloudflare. You know Cloudflare can man-in-the-middle you when they want? You know, do you realize that? It's important to realize that. I mean, Cloudflare can actually pretend to be your website if you use it at any point. So you should remember it's an American thing, and they can, like, you know, they can completely screw us. With this, you cannot, you know. It's something you can do that. So I'm getting over time. I just want to thank all the people behind this project, because without them, I wouldn't be here. Not only because of what they built, but the help they gave me, because they really were super helpful, especially the Tor project, people working on the Tor browser, people from Melvad that helped me with the build system, the BitTorrent community, Namecoin, also Jeremy around that helped a lot. So a big thanks to all these people. A big thank you to the Critical Decentralized Cluster for inviting me and making this possible. And finally, so this is my cat, because internet is made to exchange cat's picture, I think, fundamentally. They just make us build that, right? So I give the browser her name, which is Akupa. So she said you should subscribe to the mailing list. You can see it on akupa.net. I'm usually mostly on RSC. I'm an old-style, old-fashioned hacker, but I make the effort to create a matrix room. So yeah, surf the interwebs, and thanks a lot for your time.
All right, thank you so much. We're going to go ahead and have to pass on the Q&A, but if you'd like to ask for some questions, feel free to go ahead and find Kosha, and we'll go ahead and meet him off to the side here. I'm guessing you'll be around in this area for a little bit. Okay, awesome.